This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, November 13th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you want to know about relative to your health. You know, but we're going to do it from a natural point of view. You know, without drugs, without surgery. How about that? Something that actually works for change. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all those things that you know how to do. Ain't working, is it, my friends? Well, let's get it done here. Call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We have a topic. We're going to talk about something that unfortunately affects way too many people in the United States. I mean, it's becoming one of these conditions that is getting more out of control. The prevalence is about 10% of the population, maybe a little bit more than that at this point. So we're talking about a whole bunch of people. And in addition to that, there's a whole lot more than undiagnosed. So what are we talking about? We're talking about diabetes. We're talking about, you know, this thing that can not only kill you, but can worse, make you feel like you should be dead. And it starts nipping away and taking away all the things that you enjoy life with, but, you know, heart disease is involved and cataracts, losing your eyesight, glaucoma, blindness of all sorts, infections, increasing your risk of all kinds of bacterial infections, that pain that you get in your extremities, particularly in your feet, they're called neuropathy and, you know, neurological patterns. It goes on. It affects your kidneys. It affects the circulatory patterns throughout your entire body. You can end up with gum disease because of this thing. So let's get into it, and we're going to get into it with somebody who knows the subject inside out, upside down, and hopefully be able to put it in a place where you can understand it even better. Dr. Matt Adams. Welcome, Dr. Matt.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, yes, indeed, because you're going to do this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Dr. Matt will be presenting a topic on diabetes, and it's kind of an interesting topic. So does diabetes take back control? I mean, this is not something that happens to you unless you allow it to get there. And we're going to distinguish the differences between different types of diabetic problems. But this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Matt Adams will be your host, your presenter on this very important subject. There's like way too many of you that, you know, in diabetes and heart disease and blood pressure problems and all those things go hand in hand. So you need to understand the process. You need to understand that, by the way, you can do something about that. Dr. Matt, let's talk about this a little bit.
All right.
You know, what is diabetes really? I mean, is it a blood sugar handling problem, you know, where the body's gone crazy and blood sugars go through the ceiling and it's just that eating away? Or is it the fact that there's blood sugar and the body can't transport it? Which one really is it?
Well, if you look up things, it's going to say that, you know, they're just going to give classifications of diabetes is your blood sugar is such and such high, or A1C is such and such high. But really, it's like the last thing you said. It's about the body's ability to use what's there. You have things in your body to help you break down sugar so you can use it and get it out of your bloodstream. And so whenever that process stops working, that's pretty much what diabetes is. Now, yeah, you'll have symptoms of blood sugar building up, but that's just the effect of it. That's not what's actually happening. It's not the mechanical effect taking place inside your body.
I want to get into a lot of different pieces because it's so important. There's so many people out there that are being frightened because they have blood sugar and they think, well, oh my God, it's this high, and they're being put on medications, and the medications have huge side effects, which we'll touch upon a little bit today. But when somebody goes to the doctor and the doctor says your blood sugar is too high, and I'm going to use a number because laboratory levels will take it up to the high 90s. That's the normal parameter. So they get to that place where it's 100 or 102 or 108 or 105 on a fasting blood sugar. Is that really diabetes at that point?
I mean, technically, no, it's supposed to be 125, but is your blood sugar higher than it's supposed to be? Yeah. So, I don't know. You can say whether it's clinically diabetes or not. Do you have a blood sugar problem at that point? Yes. Are you handling it improperly? I would think so.
But on the basis of one blood sugar test, let's say that you know, does that mean that, you know, somebody comes in with 110, 108, 105 blood sugar level? There are other considerations. There are things that definitively say, yeah, we're in a pre-diabetic state, or yeah, we have diabetes. Does that mean
that you need to get scared? Which, you know, they're going to kind of get you scared so that you can take medications to bring it down. Does that mean you need to get super worried and go on? No, you're okay. Like, people will have their blood sugar jump up to 108 or 110 at different times. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people on Thanksgiving, their blood sugar is going to jump pretty high for a little while.
It's called the party you had the night before,
yeah,
right?
And then it's going to go back down to normal range. I mean, that's what happens. So if you got one test where it jumps up, are you diabetic? No. Do you need to get on medication? No. If you are fasting and it's, you know, a little high, do you need to take some action? Well, of course. And that's what we're going to talk about. But yeah, I think we get so scared nowadays with these different tests and we feel like we have to jump into and take medications or we're all going to die so quickly that we forget that our body is an amazing machine that if you just, you know, change the oil every once in a while and put some good gas in there, it can go a long time.
You know, what impresses me and to the negative is that, you know, patients will come in with a blood sugar and their doctors say, well, you know, you have diabetes, instead of running definitive tests. There's obviously other supportive tests that they can run as well that says, yeah, in fact, you got a problem. And you and I both know that in the office we run something called an A1C hemoglobin, and that is an average of blood sugar regulation or over the last couple months, actually, and two to three months. So when you see a high A1C, and by the way, high means 5.7 or above, then you get into that brittle diabetic or pre-diabetic, and then once you hit a certain level, anything above 6 is something that is, you got to take action yesterday because we have problems. So you have those types of things, and you know, this glycinated hemoglobin that we're talking about, which is really, you know, the same thing of that A1C measures, a lot of guys don't do that. But here's the thing. At that point, you know, patients are going to be put on metformin. They're going to be told, you know, you can't eat all this other stuff and all those things. But let's talk about the contributing factors. What actually, you know, you look at it, even somebody who, and let's do it conversely, somebody who has a blood sugar of 95, but they have an A1C of 6. So that tells us that they have a problem, correct?
Well, let's back up a little bit and talk a little bit what a glycinated hemoglobin means for our listeners here. It's like, so hemoglobin is a red blood cell. And so red blood cells basically are shown to circulate through the system for about 3 months. And so whenever the sugars attach to it and they run this hemoglobin A1C, they're trying to get a measurement of a 3 month average of the blood sugar sitting in there. So that's what Dr. Rizal, I was just wanted to explain that so that we get a basis. So, if you take a fasting blood sugar, which means this is what your blood sugar was at that particular second that they took that blood, that tells you one thing. If you take a measure of what your blood sugar is like over a three-month period, that's another thing. And so you need, like you're saying, you need both of those because, yeah, I could, someone could get their blood sugar taken and it could be like in the low 80s because they were fasting and they have a handling problem. And so it actually tanked and it was too low. But then they've got a hemoglobin A1C that's in the sixes. I've seen that before. So, you know, they can go along every day. Every time they get a blood sugar test, it's at 80s. And they're like, oh, I'm great. But inside, they're being torn apart because their sugar's high and no one tests the proper test. I think that's where you're going with that.
It is. But, you know, we're dealing with a country that's getting way too heavy, too fat. We're dealing with a country that...
A world, really. I was looking up some statistics, and I know we're the highest in the developing countries when it comes to diabetes. But I was surprised at how many other countries they say are technically non-developed, but are major countries that have higher, much higher diabetes percentages than we do. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, this is a epidemic everywhere. I mean, everybody's getting high blood sugar. Everybody's getting heavier. I mean, you can debate some places don't, but the majority... Almost everybody is increasing in mass and blood sugar.
Well, the thing is that they're increasing the wrong way. I mean, as a society, we're growing taller, and as a society, we're bigger people, but we're fatter people across the world, as you say, and everywhere you go. And whether it's because everybody's into fast-acting carbohydrates and lifestyles that, and particularly in the Western world, you know, it's catch as catch can when it comes to food. And we're eating things that normally we would feed to animals that we want to take them to slaughter. And, you know, the refined products, right? And the truth of it is that that does to us what it does to them. It fattens us up. And when it fattens us up, the blood sugars go through the ceiling. And for the majority of people, that's where they have huge problems. My guest in studio, Dr. Matthew Adams, will be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 16th, November. Wow. Time is, we're almost there at the end of the year.
It's
7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. Love to have you as a guest. Give us a call at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. You know, if you find yourself on all kinds of different medications because you're in that place, you're taking metformin, you're doing whatever, it's important that you find out. And the truth is that there is a way of turning things around and making a difference in your life. You know, we're talking about things that are reversible. We're talking about things that you can make a difference in. Dr. Matt, is there one group of people that genetically that you've seen or the statistics bear out that are more sensitive, more susceptible to diabetic patterns than others? Are there, you know, do they show up? Relative to cultural backgrounds, do they show up, differently across the board?
I don't know. That gets on a touchy subject for me because I feel like maybe there is, but I feel for the most part, people can use that as a crutch and not want to give in to the fact that they can make a change, that they can make a difference. I don't know what do you feel about?
Well, the truth of it is it's there. There's getting in from even American Indians and non-Hispanic black folks, Hispanics, Asian Americans, non-Hispanic whites. The percentages are very different, and the statistics bear it out. The problem is that the incidence is huge and is growing, and the fact is that there are so many of us that are undiagnosed. You know, years ago, juvenile diabetes, other than type 1, was unheard of. Now we have kids who are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and the numbers are growing exponentially. I want to get into that with you when we get back after these important messages. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. In studio, Dr. Matthew Adams. We're talking about diabetes and its impact, and that's the topic of the in-house continuing education program that we'll have at the Results Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., 16th of November. All you got to do is call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. and tell them that you'd like to be there. Remember, all these classes are a gift to the community because part of our mission is to educate you, serve, educate, and empower you, and make sure that you get the information that you need to make decisions in your life. And that's why we do these, and we do them on an every other week basis. So please join us if you have any concerns that you may be in a diabetic state or going into a diabetic state. I want to tell you what kind of business this is, okay? And don't think just because, as we were trying to talk about earlier, that your blood sugar is kind of creeping up a little bit and your doctor says, oh my God, and starts putting you on things. But even injectables, things that are, you know, have to be put in your blood, they're either pumps or you have to inject every day or whatever. There are multiple companies that are involved in this, from Merck to Eli Lilly, and it goes on. But, you know, Lantus is a drug, and Januvia and Novorapid and Log, Humalog, human insulins, Victoza, all of these things, and it goes on. But I want you to know about the costs. All right, just taking one like Lantus, and the company is Sanofi. And they make on an annual sales something in the neighborhood of $7 billion a year just from that one drug. And you go down to Humalog, and one of the lesser ones from Eli Lilly is $2.4 billion a year. We're talking about huge amounts of dollars, and the list goes on and on and on. That's, you know, there's multiple companies that do that, and that we're not even talking about the other things. But we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of about $55 billion a year that's spent on these types of diabetic medications. It's craziness. You know, and you have a culture that says, what are we going to do about our drugs? What are we going to do about our drugs? How can we fix that? How can we get more drugs? Well, the trick is to figure out how you can do without the drugs and fixing you. And diabetes is one of those things that is a lifestyle situation. You know, I said a little flippantly that, you know, we have a tendency to eat what cows eat when we send them to slaughter. And the truth of it is, if we continue to do that, this problem that we're having, problems with our kids and so forth, will continue to go up. Jim, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, gentlemen. Dr. Adams, we all know that refined sugars is certainly not good for you, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the compelling evidence, a lot of studies out there indicating that animal protein might be the bigger cause for diabetes in general. From a kind of plant-based perspective, wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, we can actually spend probably an hour on that, but let me give you at least the skinny on it, Jim. When you're dealing with animal proteins, you have to look at the animal and how it's being raised. If you have an animal that's being given the same type of food that we're talking about right now, then they're going to increase your risk of all kinds of things because the fats and the storage within the animal and the preservatives that they put into the food and so forth are going to have an effect. What we touched upon early in the program is diabetes is really an inflammatory problem, meaning that inflammation kicks up and you can't transport blood sugar into the cells easily. So it's sitting there in the bloodstream and causing all this damage. So, but if you take animals and you do the study simply on animals that are organically fed and free ranged, allowed to do what they normally do, then that statistic goes out the window. It's not comparable. So you have to look at it one for the other. If you get, again, I'll go back, if you take any of the animals that are fed grains and corns and so forth, which is not their normal diet, by the way, it's just one that manufacturing uses to fatten them up and send them to slaughter, then you have high levels of inflammatory response that is transferred to the patient. Now, all things need to be done in moderation. You know, you're not supposed to go eat a half a cow in any situation. You're supposed to have a ton more vegetables. And when it comes to carbohydrates, you have to look at the type of carbohydrates. For example, if you have, let's say, buckwheat. Buckwheat is not a grass and it's not a wheat. It's a ground cover that is used, and it doesn't break down if you use the whole kernel and using it for hot cereals and so forth. But you still have to make sure that you keep your protein levels at a very high level. You can, if you use free-ranged rices, for example, wild rice and not regular rice. Wild rice is a grass, and it doesn't act the same way. So there are carbohydrates that are supportive to the body, and there are carbohydrates that are very destructive and will increase the problem. Again, we could spend the rest of the program doing this, but I want you to get the idea that It's an inflammatory response that's brought on by the way they handle and feed these animals, and that's where the studies are coming in. I've read them, and I talk to doctors about them. Jim, I'm sorry I can't spend more time on it, but I'd love to. You can call me next week or give me a call or send me a note at the office, and I'll answer it even more fully for you. But that's the essence of that. We may touch upon it at the end of the program. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls and anything you'd like to talk about at your health, whether it's something that you're doing that you're not getting the results with or something that you want to know more about or what you can do differently. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Call us now in-house. Dr. Matthew Adams, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We're going to be talking about diabetes and how to stop the madness and, you know, what you can really do about it, what causes it. We've touched upon a lot of different things during the first part of the program, relationships between insulin and ghrelin and leptin and how that all works and triggering the body's response for food and transportation and shutting it down and making you fatter because you can't control that mechanism. We've talked about and touched on the inflammatory levels that causes, and that's where you get the insulin resistance. I want you to remember that term, insulin resistance. It means that it can't get where it wants to go.
It's resisting the insulin
that's right.
That's trying to use your blood sugar.
That's right. You know, Dr. Matt, our last caller, Jim, said that, you know, there was a study that was released that you and I are both aware of on animal proteins versus carbohydrates, and that people who tend to eat more protein, more animal proteins, have an increased risk of diabetes. I suggested to him that it didn't report the entirety of the study and that it's not about only free-range meats, but animals who have been fed carbohydrates and junk and so forth. And the study doesn't isolate any of the parameters. Let's touch about that a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, it could be the kinds of meat. You know, for some people, certain meats, if you go into different types of blood types, certain meats can cause an inflammatory reaction, even if they're good meats too. So it doesn't go into specifics there. I also didn't like that the study was basically, it didn't monitor their diet and make them eat a certain way. It just, people, it looks like people turned in their diet, their food diary, and they just calculated how much protein was in there. But it does not go into detail the other things they ate. So that's the other thing I don't like about the study is that they could have eaten, you know, if you're eating steak, what do you get with your steak? Baked potato, right?
So that's right.
So, I mean, if you're eating a lot of steak.
Or rice or pasta.
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know what I think there. But you know, regardless of that, you made a point that if you're eating something that's going to cause an inflammatory reaction in the body, that inflammatory reaction makes it difficult for multiple things to work, including receptors. And there's a lot of receptors in the body for your nervous system. There's receptors for the neurotransmitters that help you to fall to sleep and receptors for hormones. But there's major receptors for insulin to do its job. And so if we are providing a source of inflammation from our food, which is the most common source nowadays, then we can develop an insulin resistance pattern even if we're trying to do better. I know that's, you know, people are listening going, oh man, I'm trying to do better and then I'm not. But that's where, you've got to look at what your meat source is. You've got to look at what is the meat you're eating, one. Where's it coming from? And then also, how much are you getting? I mean, yeah, you can eat a whole bunch of animal protein. And that's what I have a problem with the Atkins diet. Probably with people who try to follow it is I think people go a little bit too crazy on just eating animal protein and forget that vegetables are involved.
Yeah, they forget everything else. They forget the green stuff that has the high mineralization that needs to transport proteins in our system. And without proteins, by the way, your body's going to eat you up. It's
going to
eat your muscle mass up. It's got to have the amino acids.
Yeah, and if you eat too much protein, that's hard on, you know, the kidneys to break down, all the byproducts of breaking down protein. It's hard on your digestive tract, especially if we're stressed and we don't digest very well because we don't produce enough stomach acid and enzymes. So now you kind of start to hurt your intestinal tract, and that leads to more inflammation. So all these things can happen. So yes, I can see how eating more animal protein could lead to that. But if you're eating animal proteins and you're eating lots of vegetables, we need to do mostly vegetables with animal protein, you're going to be in a much better place than if you're eating a lot of carbohydrates. So I don't want people to read this study and go, oh, eat too much animal protein leads to diabetes, I'll just eat more pasta.
You know, and it comes...
That's not going to work.
No, not at all. And it comes to, as a matter of fact, if you want to get more diabetes and heart disease and hardening of the arteries and strokes, go ahead and eat pasta at every meal in this country, because it's a fast-acting carbohydrate loaded with tons of more gluten, and it reacts very, very differently, and that's why we have some of the problems. But, you know, the bottom line is that you have protein in your system. You need it. You need to have, again, depending on your blood types and what you were saying, they should be free-ranged. But fish and chicken and turkey and those things, but add that to nuts and tons of vegetables. You should have, if you look at your plate, your dinner plate, you know, only a quarter of it should be any kind of protein, no matter what the source is, meaning animal protein of some sort, whether it's fish, chicken, turkey, or beef. Never pork, in my opinion, never touch it. That other white meat is something that'll do more damage than you want to, particularly with parasites and pollutions and so forth. But half of that plate, more than half of that plate, should be green, colorful types of vegetables. And, you know, as we've said, you need in the neighborhood of 8 servings of vegetables a day. A serving is a half a cup. And some of us think that a pickle and a piece of lettuce and a tomato on a hamburger with bun is vegetables. So, you know, we have to fight the fight.
Well, they are vegetables, but just not that much.
Listen.
I'm not backing him. I'm not backing that. I'm just clarifying.
You get me in trouble.
But... yeah, but that's the thing is we and our body kind of is geared towards this. I mean, our body is made to make energy, right? So, you know, if you look back on how we developed and whatever, our body is going to crave sources of energy. Well, what's an easy source of energy? Sugar. Our body craves sugar, carbohydrates, because it does what it wants to do. Unfortunately, we have very easy access to all of this. If you look, I don't remember what the study was, the amount of sugar that we consume now versus was consumed 100 years ago is drastically different. A lot of that was because they didn't have access to it. We have access to sugar and carbohydrates and all this stuff. Like, it's so easy to get. And it's so fast.
I challenge people just every time you grab a package of something, and that's unfortunately what happens in our society, is, you know, we grab everything that we can get our hands on. Take a look at the package and see how much sugar that you're getting from every source, things that they've actually added sugar to. And by the way, let's not talk about non-sugar sugars, you know, the dietary sugars. The NutraSweets and so forth. Your mouth doesn't know the difference between an actual sugar and something that tastes like sugar, and your body reacts the same way. Those of you who have gone to diet sodas because your doctor says that, you know, you can, understand something. You will never get off your medications as long as you're eating anything that has a sweetener to it. Period. End of story. Not going to happen. You've got to make sure that you get rid of those things. So there's a whole process understanding what really goes on with type 2 diabetes and then type 1 diabetics, and we're seeing more of that because of the genetic implication. It's a pass-through from one generation to the other. It's a failure within the system, but we're still talking about, Dr. Matt, and I want you to touch on this, is this whole pattern we're talking about is a resistance pattern due to inflammation.
Yes. Resistance pattern is due to inflammation. Now, is inflammation coming from... because we're getting too much sugar in the body and that sugar is causing more inflammation? Could be. Is the resistance pattern because of other chemicals, of infections, of things like that? Sure. So that's where you have to make multiple changes in order to work with this. Changing the diet, of course, is going to decrease the inflammation you put in, but also you have to look and see, well, have I had an illness that's inside my body that's causing an infection? Am I being exposed to other chemicals that could possibly be causing this? And then you have to change accordingly. Obviously, the first place to start is looking at, well, what am I consuming? because if you get the body working properly and you get proper fuel in there, then oftentimes it can handle the rest. But the idea is to start as soon as possible. And if you're going down that road and you've been down there for a while, you have to really try to make a 180. It's difficult to make, once you're in a diabetic state, it's very difficult to kind of wean off, you know, and slowly work your way off. When you're at that point, you have to make some drastic changes very quickly and completely in order to turn things around.
You know, we're talking about an economic impact to this country. We want to save money. This is an area that we really need to pay attention to. We're talking about $350 billion, and that's a statistic from the American Diabetic Association. $350 billion in cost of diabetes in America. That's just in this country. I mean, if we don't get this under control, we're in trouble. And you add that to heart disease, you add that to all the associated diseases, and you have an impact that I don't think we can climb over.
So you're saying diabetes is leading to the national debt?
Diabetes is...
Is that where you're going?
I'm saying exactly that. I mean, health care, as we know it, is problematic in this country. And, you know, you can get me on another soapbox. I'll do that one of these days. But, you know, the indirect and direct costs of trying to fix things, if you will, instead of trying to prevent them from happening, re-educating our society to understand that, in fact, they have control. That's, you know, the reason I wrote my book some years ago on controlling your health. Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself program. We have control, and yet we are being duped, and we are being put upon. We are being controlled by Fifth Avenue Marketing. You know, the profit margins that are associated across the board, not only in the foods that are poisoning us, but also in the drugs that are controlling us. And I say that very straight up, controlling us, because the drug companies don't want to kill you ever. They want to maintain you.
Well, how much are you paying for the metformin, insulin, things like that? How much is the average person paying, would you say, for these? That's where you have to look at too. It's like, you know, people who smoke, how much are they paying for that every day or every month? Where, you know, with diabetes, how much are you paying for this medication, and how much would it cost to add some more vegetables to your plate over time and stay away from these other things?
Well, people don't cook anymore. You know, Sue and I sit there at nighttime and we talk about, you know, things that happen during the day, and she'll talk about people that come into her room and, you know, for a nutritional consultation and said, oh, by the way, I don't cook. You know, and you go into people's refrigerators and there's nothing there except for maybe fast food stuff or leftover six pack of soda or something of that nature. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse in our younger generation. You know, that's why we see so many restaurants out there. Nobody stays home and cooks anymore. Nobody has, you know, the time to prepare. Sue and I eat home every night, and we both work all day long. And we've learned that, you know, the pressure cooker is a good thing. We can steam vegetables. We always have salad that's already cut up. We pre-prepare our foods, and we have fish and chicken, and we have free-range beef occasionally. We have free-range lamb occasionally, and we eat nuts and seeds and things of that nature. And we keep things in a rational format. So, you know, I get home and I work late hours. I'm in the office 12, 13 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours. I go home and Sue's prepped something in the morning. I put it in the broiler in the oven. I put the pressure cooker up and I throw, you know, the broccoli in or whatever it is. And, you know, dinner's on the table in 15 minutes. And then we both break it down and we sit there and we have our decompression time together. But the point of it is that as a society, we're not doing that. I mean, and we go say, oh, go pick something up at, you know, bring it home. Or go get let me just grab something real quick and, you know, get it done. But even when you think that you're doing things right, as best you possibly can, you know, we're hurting ourselves because we have this taste for carbohydrates that converts into sugar. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Give us a call. Dr. Matthew Adams, my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., 16th of November. He's going to be talking about taking back control of your health and getting rid of this diabetic situation. By the way, you know, we're coming up to a lousy part of the year. It's a happy time of the year, but it's a lousy part of the year when it comes to health, right?
Lousy part of the
year. Yeah, because in January in our office, we're going to see the aftermath of all this. You know, we're going to see the, you know, the carbohydrate and blood sugar insult that has taken place starting, you know, it just started, right, with Halloween.
Yeah, also known as flu season.
Right.
Because we just...
Yeah, because of all the garbage we're putting in our body.
And we haven't gone to this part yet, but now that it's getting cold, the motivation to go out and exercise is diminishing as well. And that's a major part. We've been talking about diet and food and inflammation, but we haven't talked about the impact of what exercise does, and which is very much lacking out in this, well, in most areas, but out in this area particularly since I've been here, because you're either at a desk or you're in traffic, and it's hard to find time, I understand, to exercise when you're in traffic for an hour to hour and a half and at the office all day.
Yeah, how many people do you know, how many patients do we have that come in and they have a problem? And, you know, they're doing exactly what you just said, but things that they can do a little bit of, like park at the end of the ramp and walk to the stairs and then take the stairs up to wherever they are and then take the stairs back down and not sit at their desk and eat, but take 5 minutes and go outside and walk around a little bit. You know, get out and every time you go to the store, park way aware and get that done. We don't do that. And we, you know, we forget that there are little modifications that we can make on a day-to-day basis that make huge differences in our lifestyle.
So everybody's worried about time, but sometimes you have to, you know, make that, use that time in order to help you.
You know, I go down and I talk to my best friend down in Kansas, who was your original mentor, Dr. Evan Mladenov, and, you know, that's barbecue city down there. You know, they got barbecue beef and barbecue this and barbecue that, and all the barbecue, by the way, has got sugar in it. And I said, Dr. Evan, I said, what's the deal here, buddy? I said, you're trying to kill me? You're trying to kill your patients? And we laugh all the time because he eats really well in his home, and he says, I see this all the time. You know, people come in and they get the baked beans and the potatoes and everything else that goes along with it. And he said, diabetes in this environment is really high. Coming up to a break, you're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest, Dr. Matthew Adams. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon, just on the same old spot on your radio where you're listening right now. You know, some of you are out on the West Coast, so subtract the hours. And those of you listening, you know, overseas, and as many of you do, which surprises me, and I'm very flattered. Thank you very much. You know, we keep doing this for you. We're making sure that you have the opportunity to increase your health index, because health is a do-it-yourself program. Make sure you embrace that, understand that, set your goals, and then put realistic time frames. And get yourself an accountability partner, somebody that once you make a decision that you're going to do something with your health, will not let you off the hook until you get it done. And that's one of the keys of setting important goals. My guest in studio, Dr. Matthew Adams, your host and presenter this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, this Wednesday, November the 16th, 7 p.m., If you want to attend, which I encourage you to do, if you're taking any kind of medications or if you're watching that blood sugar, your doctor says, well, let's watch it for a while. You watch it, you're in trouble. You got to be proactive. Call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117, and tell our staff that you'd like to be there. We'd said that the cost of diabetes, both type 1, type 2, is something in the neighborhood about $350 billion, and it's awful, and it's on the rise, and it's not going to stop unless we stop it, we do something about it. It's not by making better drugs. It's about doing the things that you need to do. So, you know, we've talked about kidney disease and stroke and heart risk and blindness and liver function problems and so forth that have to do with it. And by the way, amputations. Do you know that there's approximately 80,000 non-traumatic lower limb amputations that are performed on an annual basis? And these are people that are diagnosed with diabetes, I mean, that have a diabetic component to it, a constituency, you know, some of them not a result, but that's part of it.
That's a lot of amputation.
That is a lot of limbs being lost.
Yeah.
Not okay.
No.
So when it's preventable, particularly when it's something that can be stopped, you know, Dr. Matt, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the causative pieces again. Let's go back to that, because I want our audience to understand that most of this is a result of their own hand.
Yeah, it's think what you eat, it's how active you are, and it's mostly lifestyle. I would say, like, I'm sure there's a few people it's not, but 98% of the time, it's a lifestyle thing. And you can make changes. That's the thing, is Sometimes when we have a diagnosis of something, we forget that it's not a disease that you can't get rid of. This is something you can change. You can make a change. And that's the sad part is a lot of people feel like they can't. They feel like it's a family thing. They feel like it's where they're from. They feel like you can't do anything about it. And you really can. Before it leads down that road to, like you said, amputations, before it leads to all these problems. And even if it has gotten to some of these points, it doesn't mean that you can't start to reverse a lot of this stuff before it gets worse.
You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, we just talked about the increase of risk of diabetes and over a period of years. There are authors out there that are taking the statistics and looking at them. They're saying that in the last 50 years, the pre-diabetic estimates are over 700% over what they were 50 years ago. So that tells you that it's lifestyle. That tells you that we have a problem in what we're doing with ourselves, that it's a problem. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Matthew Adams will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about diabetes. Join him and figure out what you can do to make a difference in your life. 703-698-7117. That's how you make reservations. We're coming up to that unfortunate end of the program, as we do every week. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye.